All right, everybody. I'm Logan Alec. I'm a CPA, and this is my election, COVID, and stimulus update for Tuesday, November 10th. Going to talk about stimulus at the end, what Mitch and Schumer said yesterday, but first I want to address some thoughts on the election because I'm still getting a lot of comments and opinions on the election, so let me express mine. I have every belief that Joe Biden will be sworn in as the 46th President of the United States on January 20th of next year, and that Kamala Harris will be sworn in as the 49th Vice President of the United States on that same day. Note that this does not mean that I support every single one of their policies or anything like that. That's just the way that I see things right now as the election unfolded. So I want to respond to some comments I've seen here on the channel, basically saying that the media doesn't determine the election and that I'm a fraud for reporting on what the media is reporting about the election. Now, first of all, it's exactly right that the media does not decide the election. And that's why I've personally chosen to refrain from calling Biden and Harris president-elect and vice president-elect, because technically they're not yet. Next steps are for secretaries of state and or some election official at the state level to certify the election. And then the Electoral College votes on December 14th, and we're not done yet. Once the Electoral College votes, the House of Representatives votes to certify the results of the presidential election, and then Joe Biden and Kamala Harris will, in the full sense of the term, be president-elect and vice president-elect at that point. However, the media, and specifically the Associated Press, as we all know, has already called this election, as it has done in every presidential election since the 16th presidential election, which Zachary Taylor won in 1848, and they make that call after they have determined that a particular candidate, in this case Donald Trump, has no way to catch up legally or mathematically to the leading candidates, in this case, Joe Biden. Sally Busby, Associated Press's executive editor, said in a New York Times interview, "If there is any uncertainty, or if there are enough votes out there to change the result, then we don't call the race." Think back to 2000, Bush versus Gore. Did the Associated Press call the election on election night? No, they didn't. They did not call for Bush. They did not call for Gore. It wasn't until the Supreme Court case Bush versus Gore was decided that they finally called the election for Bush. Now, historically, with some exceptions, the apparent loser in a presidential race concedes the race to the apparent victor well before the process that I described at the beginning of this video takes place, well before the Electoral College votes on December 14th, and well before the House of Representatives certifies the results. But of course, this year, it's not exactly clear that that will happen given the flurry of legal challenges put forth by the Trump campaign. And Trump is not backing down. Yesterday, Attorney General William Barr told federal prosecutors, his employees, those who work under him at the Justice Department, he said that they could investigate specific allegations of voter fraud, particularly in Nevada and Pennsylvania. This caused one Justice Department official, the one who oversees the Election Crimes Branch, Richard Pilger, to step down. And of Trump's 12-ish legal challenges that have been filed so far in various states, none appear to be going anywhere fast, much less able to challenge the results of this election. Nevertheless, most Republican politicians, at least at the federal level, are falling in line here with the Trump re-election camp. And while I doubt that many of them actually believe that Trump could mount a successful challenge here to win re-election, these Republicans are supportive of his legal challenges, at least nominally. Yesterday, Mitch McConnell, who met with William Barr yesterday, said that Trump is 100% within his rights to continue these legal challenges. That's true. And McConnell did not congratulate Biden as president-elect on the Senate floor yesterday. McConnell is joined by the top Republican in the House, Kevin McCarthy, as well as many other Republican members of Congress who are at least outwardly supportive of Trump's legal challenges to the election. Personally, my view here is that these guys, McConnell included, I think they acknowledge that perhaps some of the lawsuits might be valid. They might be legitimate things to look into. There might be some voter fraud here and there. But I think they also, in their heart of hearts, in Mitch's heart of hearts, he knows that these lawsuits are not going to materially affect the results of the election, but he's just outwardly supporting this effort as a nod to unity within the Republican Party. In fact, some Democrats in D.C. are saying that in private, various Republican lawmakers are acknowledging Biden's victory, but are not willing yet to do so publicly. In terms of COVID-19, the United States recorded over 130,000 new cases yesterday and 745 deaths. Also, Ben Carson, Trump's Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, has contracted COVID-19 himself. Yesterday, I went over the Pfizer vaccine and the remarkable results it appears to have shown in late-stage clinical trials, so I'm not going to rehash that again here, but we do have some more good news on the COVID-19 pharmaceutical front. Yesterday, the FDA also granted emergency approval to a new COVID-19 treatment developed by American pharmaceutical company Eli Lilly. The Pfizer vaccine that made headlines yesterday, that's obviously a vaccine, something you would get to prevent contracting COVID-19 beforehand. The Eli Lilly drug is a treatment, something you would take after you contract COVID-19. This Eli Lilly drug was administered to former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie after he contracted the coronavirus. The treatment has been approved by the FDA for people aged 12 or older who have tested positive for COVID-19 and are at risk of developing more severe forms of the coronavirus. So this, in conjunction with the Pfizer news yesterday, this is all good news, whether it's this treatment or that vaccine yesterday or others like them that other companies will develop, science is hopefully catching up to COVID-19. Obviously, new medications, new vaccines, it's kind of scary, right? Hasn't been around very long. Are there crazy side effects? But look, we got to start somewhere. And when they start rolling these things out, especially that vaccine, to millions of people for free, we'll see what the side effects and effectiveness are on the population as a whole, won't we? All right, now into Congress and stimulus. Today, the Senate is electing their leaders, and no surprise to you, Mitch McConnell is running for Republican leader and Chuck Schumer for Democratic leader. And you won't be surprised when they are reelected today by the various senators in their respective caucuses. McConnell and Schumer did kind of trade barbs yesterday on the Senate floor, their first day back on the Senate floor, regarding lame duck stimulus. On the Senate floor yesterday, McConnell brought up good news after good news after good news as justification for skinny, or as he calls it, targeted stimulus. He brought up the Pfizer vaccine, which he called a huge testament to the ingenuity of the American private sector and their global partners. He kind of tried to sneak in some praise there, the Trump administration, in terms of deregulation, for indirectly opening the door for this vaccine. Again, he highlighted that lower than expected unemployment rates in last week's jobs report at 6.9%. He mentioned that back in the springtime, lots of economists thought that unemployment would be double digits at the end of the year, but the actual news is obviously much better. McConnell did acknowledge that cases are going up and we should still be wearing masks, but in light of all this, he stuck to his guns about a targeted relief package, saying that's exactly what we need right now and that the Democrats need to put aside their all-or-nothing obstruction and let this targeted relief happen. Chuck Schumer, Senate Minority Leader, did not respond too kindly to McConnell's words. Here's what he said.
This Republican majority has proposed totally inadequate solutions. As the disease surges across our country once again, there is no time for inadequate solutions. I hope now that the election is behind us, our colleagues are ready to come together in a search for an adequate bipartisan solution rather than the partisan stunt voting legislating we've suffered for the past few months.
McConnell and Schumer have completely opposite views of what's going on in our country right now. McConnell sees good things. He sees the glass half full and presses that as an argument for small stimulus. Schumer's more pessimistic. He focuses on the rising cases, and he says COVID-19 is now surging again across the country. And he called what Republicans want to do in wake of this with their targeted skin legislation an inadequate solution and a partisan stunt. Y'all know how I feel about lame duck stimulus. Both sides saying we need it, but neither side willing to work with the other to actually get it done. And this played out, as it has many times before, yesterday on the Senate floor. Here's to hoping something changes in the minds of our leaders. But in any event, thank you so much for watching, and I'll see you in the next video. Bye-bye.